And I appreciate all the things that's going on. What wonderful preaching we had today. Brother O showed out. Brother Blaylock went crazy. Oh, what good preaching. And my friend, you can do like that other fellow that was born somewhere else. You can go to Hawaii and get a birth certificate. If you wasn't born right, go to Hawaii. I got my certificate from heaven. Amen. I like it, don't you? 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll not be long tonight. Dr. Carl will be preaching in just a few moments. I'm glad a clock's up here. I don't have one. They got one right here. But I want to do what God wants me to do. And I believe God has put something on my heart tonight that I'd like to dispel it from my heart to your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you'd stand with me, please. I want to read two verses of Scripture tonight. I want to read verse 9 and verse 10 for the message. The Bible said in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Somehow when I read that verse, I can see the urgent plea of that great apostle calling young Timothy. Timothy, make haste. Timothy, lay aside everything you got and do thy diligence. Don't let anything sidetrack you. Get here as quick as you can. Paul was at the position in his life where he was just prior going to Nero's chop block. And he wanted to see young Timothy, so he said, "Do thy diligence. Come shortly unto me." Notice verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed, and the Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." When I thought about this verse, and I tried to tie it together with verse 9, seemed somehow I can see a little bit of heartbrokenness that Paul was summons to Timothy, "Do thy diligence," because Demas hath forsaken me. I want to pray, and then I want to preach a few minutes tonight on what made Demas quit. We know the biblical reason, but I want to know what led up to that. The Bible said Demas, having loved this present world. Our fathers, we bow tonight. We thank you for your divine mercy. Lord, we are grateful. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. We're grateful tonight that we're eternally wrapped up in the arms of the Lord. We're mighty thankful tonight that you've let us gather together here in this place for one sole purpose, and that's to worship you in spirit and truth. And now, Lord, I pray for just a little while for that you can only give. Nobody else can give it. That touch, that unction, that power, that unusualness that every once in a while you lay upon your servant. And I pray you'll do it tonight. Speak to every heart. Lord, there's not anybody in this building that you don't know all and everything about. So, Lord, we pray that you might muse around and meddle around in our hearts tonight and do what's pleasing to thyself. Save that one that's unsaved. Lord, bring deep conviction tonight, and we'll certainly thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What made Demas quit? Now, quitting is not a quick thing. Quitting is a gradual thing. Quitting is not an overnight thing. The overnight thing is a result of something that's been happening. So what made Demas quit? I thought about Demas. Demas, you know, is only mentioned three times in all the Bible. First time it's mentioned is Philemon, verse 24. I want you to turn there because I want you to write something down in this verse. In verse 24 of the book of Philemon, he said, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and then notice the accolades that he lays upon these four men, my fellow laborers. Lord, what a great compliment. What a thing it is to be labeled as a fellow laborer with that great seasoned saint of God by the name of Paul. What a compliment that was. I thought about down through the years with the privileges that God has given to me to rub shoulders with some of the greatest of God's men in this era of time. I've counted a great privilege to be called with some of those fellow laborers. But I can't comprehend that Paul, who had been up into the third heaven and had revelation from God that was unlawful to utter, would say to somebody like Demas, my fellow laborer. Lord, what a line of preacher there that Paul had associated himself with. The second time it's mentioned is in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Where he said, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Somehow you can always read behind, between the lines, something has already begun to happen. All the accolades now laid towards Luke, the beloved physician. By Demas just being with Luke, he acknowledged that. I don't know why he said Luke, the beloved physician. It may have been because Luke, Dr. Luke, had taken care of him sometime down in those damp, cold dungeon cells. But he only mentioned the name Demas. And then the third time it's mentioned in our text chapter, for Demas hath forsaken me. He has moved now from the great co-laborer fellowship to loving this present evil world. Can I say something to us tonight? You and I who are saved, we don't ever have to worry about dying and going to hell. You and I who have trusted in that blood of the Lamb of God that was shed on Calvary's tree, we don't ever have to worry about, we don't ever have to ponder in our minds and our heart what hell's going to be like because we'll never see it. But I'll tell you what we've got to garrison ourselves against I'll tell you what, we got to guard ourselves against. We got to guard ourselves against loving this present world. The number one enemy is the love of this world. Demas fell more in love with the world. I'm aware tonight that if we're not careful, we'll get entangled with the world. When the Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world, but yet the very thing the Bible tells us not to fall in love with is the thing that we have to guard ourselves against. What made Demas quit? What led up to him falling in love with this world? Well, I want to give you some things I think maybe could have been what led up to him just quitting. I thought about it may have been from weariness. You see, there's nothing like being weary. There's nothing like being tired, worn out. Weariness will knock you out. Weariness will make you faint. Weariness will make you throw in the towel. When I was a little old boy, I used to go from Macon, Georgia, where I lived, up to Columbus, Georgia, every summer to stay with my grandmother. My grandmother's husband, my step-grandfather, was in the military, in the Army. He served 30 years in the Army. And one time he brought a young fellow over to the house while I was there that was a prize fighter by the name of Jack Revolter. He was in the United States Paratroopers. Well, when Jack Revolter came, he took me under his arms and I fell for him, head, foot, and all. I idolized him. He was a paratrooper. He's a fighter. Amen. And he said to my grandmother, can I take Donnie to the boxing match tonight? I'll take good care of him. She said, yeah. Jack Revolta was a professional prize fighter. He not only fought for the Army, but he fought for himself as a pro. And that night he set me up close to the corner. And when Jack Revolta was whipping that fella, in the sixth round, he hit him and knocked that fella out on his feet. Jack Revolta went in for the kill, and that other man's corner threw in that towel. And Jack quit and wouldn't hit him. That man could not continue. And therefore the towel was thrown in. You know what weariness will make you do in this battle with the Lord? It'll make you throw in the towel if you're not careful. It may have been from weariness. When I talk about rest, I'm not talking about quitting on God. When I'm talking about you must come apart or you will come apart, I'm not talking about sitting down and doing nothing for God. I'm talking about getting your mind and your heart, getting it right, and getting it ready to get on the great battlefield for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may have been from weariness. I don't know about you, but weariness will make you dog tired. However dog tired is, I think I've been there. Weariness will exhaust you. I've been tired. I was asked the other month, Brother Pollard, when you going to retire? I said, when I get some retirement support. Amen. I thought, Lord, if they'll give me retirement support, you know, we independents don't take care of nobody. Am I right? And I thought, Lord, if you'll give me retirement support, I will. Amen. but I don't want to. How do you retire from doing something you enjoy? Amen. But I do get weary. I must confess, when I left home Saturday morning in Rome, Georgia, it was 12 degrees. I said, I'm going to somewhere where it's warmer than where I'm leaving. I thought. I talked to Brother Seymour or somebody, and they said it was 20-something degrees up here. Well, I got to Shingle House, Pennsylvania at 1 o'clock Saturday morning, Sunday morning. It was 13 below. And Sunday morning at church, Brother Haynes said, who had the coldest temperature around here? One said it was 18 at my house. Another one said it was 18 below at his house. One said it was 20 below zero. I thought, Lord, I have driven from 9:30 on Saturday morning to 1 o'clock Sunday morning and about to freeze to death. And tired as tired could be. Sure, you get weary, but it's not a time to quit. Amen. Hey, what made Demas quit? It may have been from worry. Why would Demas be worried? Why would he worry about things? Well, I believe he may have worried because his cohort was going to be graduating. He was going to be promoted. You see, up to now, Demas and all them fellas had Paul to lean upon. Every question that needed to be answered, they could go to Paul. But now, Paul in verse 6 of chapter 4, look at it. Look in verse 6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Isn't that something? Aren't you glad he couldn't have said I have? Aren't you glad he said I have instead I has? I wished I had. He said, I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. But now he was leaving. And so Demas and them may have been worried. He was fretting. He was anxious what was going to take place. I'll get to my message in a minute if you'll hold on. He may have been wounded. Look in verse 14 and 15. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He may have been wounded. But wait a minute. Anybody serve God any length of time in this building? Everybody's been wounded. There's probably not a person in this building that has not been wounded who's lived for God any length of time. We've all been wounded. We have learned, most of us men of God, have learned, you who say you love us the most, we got where we want you. Because you hurt us the most too, amen? You cut us the deepest. When you say I love you, I'm standing behind you. Sometimes that means when the trouble comes, I'll be way behind you. We've learned all that. Y'all listening to me? Everybody's been wounded. Wounded simply means to live to fight again. You're not dead when you're wounded. Don't faint till you die. Amen. I thought about that. What made Demas quit? And by the way, the dumbest thing you can do is leave the church when you're wounded. When you're wounded, you're not capable of making right spiritual decisions. When you're wounded, you'll do dumb things before the Lord. When you're wounded, you'll act foolish and will not respond according to the depth of God. So don't be dumb when you're wounded. Have some healing time. Get the balm of Gilead. Get some eyesight out of the Word of God and put it on you. Wait till you heal up before you make any decision. I thought about what made Demas quit. He may have been wicked. A lot of people have quit on God because of some of the reasons. But most people have quit on God because they turn out to be wicked. Notice what he said. Love this present world. Demas could have gotten cold on God. I'm not going to ask you, if I'd ask you tonight, a show of hands, if you ever got cold on God. If we was honest, probably 90% or 95% of church people would raise their hands and say, at one time I have been cold on God. You know when you quit? When you get cold and don't get where the fire's at. When you quit, when you're cold, you stay away from where the fire of God is being presented, and therefore you can't get any help. He may have been wicked. Some leave because they've never been saved. But I just want to give you three or four reasons tonight why I don't want to quit. Now, I didn't say that I couldn't quit. I said, why I don't want to quit. I heard a young preacher one time, Brother Carl, Brother Foote, Brother Seymour, and all you preachers, I heard a young preacher one time preach on some reason he couldn't quit. He said, I've never found the exit. I thought, hang around. I'll guarantee you the devil will show you plenty of exit signs down through the journey. He said, and if I found the exit sign, I couldn't get off. And I said, hang around. There'll be times you want to jump out the door. Amen. So I'm not saying some reason I can't quit. I'm saying some reasons I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit, first of all, because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary. Think about it. Hey, you know what he did? He paid sin's debt for me. I was just an old sinner, mean as the devil, and thank God Almighty, he convicted me, converted me. I'm telling you, he changed me, and thank God, I don't want to quit because of what he's done for me on Calvary. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I don't want to quit because of what Jesus has done. He gave himself, turned back to Galatians chapter 1, look in verse 4. Here's the reason I don't want to quit. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Notice something. The very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for is the very thing that what Demas quit for. He said he gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And Paul now claims that Demas hath forsaken him, having loved this world. When I think about what Jesus done for me on Calvary, so you don't know me much, but if you knew me, if you only knew where I came from. Of course, I know you came from the cesspool of sin as well. Some of us go deeper than others. Amen. You probably wouldn't even sit in here and listen to me preach if you knew where God brought me from. But on the other hand, if I knew where God brought you from, I probably wouldn't even be here preaching to you. Amen? But I'm just simply saying, where God reached down that old horrible pit, that old muck and mire, and brought me out of that slime pit of sin. Done something for me that nobody else was ever able to do. The penal system, the judicial system couldn't do it. Father couldn't do it. My dad couldn't do it. Y'all listen to me tonight? One night, heard the word of God. Something happened right here. Right here. And I've never been the same. When I think about being weary, when I think about worrying, when I think about being wounded, and when I think about this world, to leave it, to leave the Lord for it, I think about what Jesus did for me that night at Calvary. Whew. I don't want to quit. Secondly, because of my family. My little precious wife of 51 years. I mean, carry her through everything. She's paid a heavy price to be my wife. Pastoring churches. She paid a hard price to be my wife. She's heard ladies talk about her husband that would make her cry. And she would never tell me. Somebody else would tell me. When I think about all that she's gone through, and she's gone through it joyfully because she's redeemed. I think about my children, my grandchildren. Call me Preacher Pawpaw. What would they call me if I quit? Brother Scott, that boy in the Navy, that grandson in the Navy, called me Christmas Paul. I said, hello. Hey, Preacher Pawpaw. How could he call me if I quit? Oh, Adam. I told him they named him right. Adam. He's full of it. I call him Adamic Nature. Kidding him, you know. He's in the Air Force out in Mississippi. Came home. I didn't know he was even coming home. Him and his little new bride came home. We was in church and he walked up and touched me on the shoulder. Felt them big old arms around and said, hey, Preacher Pawpaw, how you doing? What were you saying that night? Had I already quit? When I think about my grandchildren, when I think about my great-grandchildren, I'm just saying to you tonight from my heart, I don't want to quit. When I've read about Demas, when I've seen the activity that Demas had been in, and when I see now the activity that he's in, it makes me want to put a garrison around my heart. It wants me to put a barrier between me and the world, and I want to love the Lord more. Y'all with me tonight? Hey, I don't want to quit when I think about my friends. What would I do in January if I quit? I used to say every year, I'm not coming back up there. going, never going back up there. Brother Foote was saving meeting. I said, get somebody else. I'm not a going. And I was coming up here Saturday. And I thought, if you'd quit on God, what would you be doing now? Tonight, I was sitting over there, and that little girl came over that Bible and said, sign your name. I'm glad I didn't put a quitter on it. When I think about my preacher friends with whom I have helped in the ministry, I'm old enough now. Every once in a while, a younger preacher will call me and ask me a question, what to do, pastoring churches in certain situations. I don't tell them what I would do. I tell them what they ought to do. You say, why? I got me a new life verse tonight. Part of it. Turn back to Joshua chapter 1. Brother O preached from this. Look in verse 14, the middle part. But you shall pass before your brethren armed. Brother, reminded me you're going to New York. Leave all your arms down here in Pennsylvania. But I better go on. I'm in New York. What made Demas quit? I don't know, but I don't want to quit. When I think about what it would bring and how it would bring joy to the enemy. Have you ever thought about if you walked off of God, you quit serving God? And I know men who have quit. Think about the joy that it would bring to the enemy. The joy it would bring to the devil when you quit on God. Oh, I had some that said I would quit. They said I wouldn't last. Then I had some that tried to make me quit. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Every one of us is so important to God. And if we quit, the devil and the enemy will be rejoicing about you walking off from God. I remember this North Carolina preacher years ago. Don't ask me his name, I'll never tell you. Ran close to 1,000 people in his church. Walked in one Sunday morning with a brand new Bible that his church just presented the week before. And slammed it down on the pulpit and looked at him and said, all of y'all can go straight to, and walked out the door. Quit on God. Quit on God. And every time I hear somebody make a reference to him, I think about the joy the enemy must have got out of that day. All them thousands of people in that congregation. Now he has walked off and quit on God. I don't want to quit when I think about the promises I made to God. I'm leaving out a lot. I got to get through where Brother Cole can preach. But when I think about the promises I made to the Lord, you see, the Lord's kept every promise he's ever made to me. I surely need to keep mine that I made to him. You know what happens when you quit on God? You break your promise to God. The last thing tonight, I don't want to quit when I think about His coming again. I said His coming is for peculiar people. That word peculiar, I wrote down my definitions of it. I put down not normal. That's what everybody tells me all the time. You're not normal. So that means I'm peculiar from them. It means different. Old Hinkle Little used to say, great preacher in North Carolina. I've heard him say, you come up here in North Carolina, call us choir, but you better not call us queer. Meaning that they were different and they were choir. I'm on little side. I don't mind being choir for the Lord. I know y'all don't even know what I'm talking about up here in the Yankee land. But it means cut differently. Out of a different mode. Means strange. Means odd. Not funny, but odd. Means a loner. Just you and him. I enjoy preacher fellowships. I enjoy camp meetings. But the best time I have is when I'm with him. I can do without preacher fellowships. I can do without camp meeting, but I cannot do without his fellowship. When I think about his coming again, his coming is for precious people. His coming is for preserved people. Not pickles, people. But preserved. I was somewhere not too long ago and a lady brought me a mason jar of beets. God knows I don't eat them things. That's something Brother Cole would eat. That's why I'm fat. He's not. But brought me that jar, mason jar of preserved beets. I took them and thanked the farm. They're sitting on my counter at home. But I thought about them old days of preserving. Where mason jars was a familiar thing to a household. It's not common now. And ladies would preserve things. They'd put them in them jars and put them little lid on it and put that, screw that lid on it, and you could hear it. It would pop. And when it would pop, it means it's sealed. Boy, I'm glad I've been popped for Jesus. Been sealed until the day of redemption. Y'all listen to me tonight. He's not coming for everything. He's coming for preserved people who are the church people. He's not coming for organizations. He's coming for his organism. He's coming for his body. Y'all listening? If he came tonight, what would it be with you? Oh, I'm not talking about I hope he'll get me. No, no. I'm talking about would you go to heaven tonight if he came? Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking. I don't know if you've been contemplating maybe backing off from God. being tired, not worthy, not worth it. Might be a good night to come and bow around an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, help me. I've been wounded deeply, but I want you to help me, Lord. I need revival. Be honest with me. How many tonight in this building would admit that you really need a revival? You really need a touch of God in your heart. Would you slip up that hand? Would you hold it up? Several in here. God bless your heart. God bless you. Thank you. You can put them down. Thank you. You can put them down. Tonight, if you lifted that hand, you recognize there's a great need in your heart. On this first stanza, when we begin to sing, would you step out and come? Our Father, I pray you'll have your way now. In Jesus' name, amen.